Of the Bible reading. It's from Luke 19, verses 1 to 10, page 1053 of the Church Bible. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man there by the name of Zacchaeus, he was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay him back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, the rest of us, let's get ready by turning back in our Bibles to page 1053, if you'd like to do that. I think you'll find that helpful, hopefully, as we go along. And I want to start by saying congratulations to Jackie and to Leo and to Sophie on behalf of all of us. We're so glad to be able to share this day with you. And it's so wonderful to have your friends and your family come and join in this time and share together and to welcome you into our church family officially. Well, I wonder what you're thinking about this, particularly if you're a guest here today. I wonder what you're thinking about what has happened to Jackie. Jackie's found God, perhaps people are saying. I wonder what you're talking about this. I wonder, are you thinking, is this a good thing? Or maybe you're thinking, could this be a bad thing? Something strange is going on. I've heard, Jackie, that you have added 1,000, do you remember that song we sang before, 1,000 Hallelujahs? You've added it to your playlist, your Alexa playlist. And maybe you're swapping the club classics for 1,000 Hallelujahs. I mean, what is going on? Jackie has changed. Maybe you're a bit intrigued about this. And maybe you're even asking yourself, how did this happen? How does somebody find God? Is it by coming along to church? Is it by your children going to Park Street School? Well, the story that Val just read, I think, can help us because it's kind of like an example story of someone else who found God. But it's full of surprises. And the biggest surprise is that I think that this guy didn't so much find God, but God found him. God, in the person of his son, Jesus, came to him, came right down his street and right into his home. The message, I think, of this story is that Jesus has come to seek and to save people who are lost. Jesus has come to seek and save people who are lost. He's on a mission to save people like you and me. And not just back then, but today as well. We believe he's not dead, he's alive. And by his Spirit, he's with us now. So as we look at this gospel story, I'd like to pray to him and ask that he will help us, that he may even meet with us as we do this. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are alive today, seeking people to save. Please be with us now. Please walk off the page of this Bible story and into each of our hearts. Amen. Jesus has come to seek and save lost people. People like Zacchaeus in our story. Luke, who wrote this gospel, has given us this story of Zacchaeus as a classic example of how someone finds God, or rather, how God finds us. Let's just set the scene. Jesus is on a journey. He's heading to Jerusalem, the capital, and he's on a mission. He's on a mission to save people like you and me. And his mission is going to be done in a strange way by dying. He's going to die on a cross. He's going to die on the cross to take the punishment for the sins, all the wrong things that everybody has done in the world. He's going to take the death that God says that we all deserve, to be separated from God. That's what he's going to do. And then by being raised to life, he is going to offer us life that we don't deserve. Life forever, not just here and now, but forever. And as he's on this journey to Jerusalem, he's calling people, people by the side of the roads and people that come to see him. He's saying, come and receive salvation, the salvation that I'm going to win for you. And as he passes through Jericho, there's this guy, Zacchaeus. Just look at what we learn about him in verse 2. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Now, I don't suppose anybody ever really likes tax collectors, let's be honest. But this guy's a chief one. And worse than that, the tax collectors in Palestine back then were traitors. They were Jewish people who worked for the Romans, and the Romans had taken over the land, and they worked for the enemy. And not just that, they had this sort of freedom to cream off really as much tax as they want and keep some for themselves, and that's what they did. So these tax collectors weren't sort of lovable rogues. They weren't kind of like a sort of Del Boys. People thought of them as we might think of loan sharks, drug dealers, dodgy landlords. That's what this guy, Zacchaeus, is. But Zacchaeus is a human being as well. He's a person with desires and longings. And he too has heard about this celebrity Jesus. He's heard about the amazing things that this Jesus is apparently doing. Healings, miracles, an amazingly powerful teaching, lives being changed. And so he wants to have a look at him as well as he comes through. Now, most people today imagine that Christians, churchgoers, that we probably think of ourselves as good people. We probably think of ourselves as a little bit better than others. I don't know what you think Christians think of themselves. But when Jesus was around, the people there who thought they were good, actually they didn't like Jesus. But the people who knew they were bad, people like Zacchaeus, they were attracted to Jesus. They were coming to him. And the surprise is that real Christianity is actually the opposite of what you would think. It's not for people who think they are good, but for those who know they are a mess and know they need saving. And so Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, but he couldn't because he was short, according to our reading. He couldn't get through the crowd. And I don't suppose, being who he was, anyone really wanted to let him through. So he runs on ahead and he climbs a tree by the side of the road. And he's probably just thinking, I'll get a good view of Jesus as he comes past. But then comes the next shock in the story. Look at verse 5. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Now just try and think for a minute how amazing this is. For a start, Jesus knows his name. Now, is that Jesus' supernatural knowledge? Maybe. We're not told. But then he says to this guy, who people would have thought, this is the baddest man in the town. And he says, you are the one I want to visit. and eat with in your home. Now, in those days, when you shared food with somebody, particularly in your home, it meant acceptance. It meant love. So amazing, isn't it, what Jesus is doing with this bad man? Just try and imagine something like this today. King Charles comes to town, and he's walking down Watling Street, and he's waving, and he's shaking hands, and then he has a meeting with some representative local person. Now, who would it be? Well, it would probably be someone who's raised lots of money for the NHS, a sort of Uncle Tom, or someone who runs the food bank. But just imagine if he walks up to a known criminal in Park Street, let's say the leader of the County Lines gang, let's say, and he shakes his hand and he invites himself into his house and he meets him and his girlfriend and his gang members and he has a meal with them. That is a really shocking thought, isn't it? Just try and picture that. Well, that is what King Jesus did when he came to Jericho. And you can see how shocking it is, because look at verse 7. Everyone's appalled. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." How can Jesus go with him? How can he go with that scum after all Zacchaeus has done to us? It's a massive surprise, isn't it? But there's even more. There's another big surprise, and that's what happens to Zacchaeus. Well, look at verse 6. He came straight down from the tree and welcomed Jesus gladly. That's amazing, isn't it? He's so glad about this invitation, this sinful, bad man. And then verse 8, and I guess they must have been chatting for a bit. I guess Luke's just sort of given us a summary of the story, because Zacchaeus stands up and announces, "I give half of my possessions to the poor, and anyone I have cheated, I will pay back four times the amount." Something big has happened to him, hasn't it? What has happened? I think we're meant to go, wow, this is an amazing transformation. Half his possessions? I mean, who does a thing like that? And pay back those that he's cheated four times. Those that he's creamed off extra taxes for four times. Zacchaeus meets with Jesus and is changed. Zacchaeus was lost from God, and now he is found and saved. And that's what Jesus says, verse 9. Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. That's the father of the Jewish people. It means he's part of the family. He's been accepted into God's people. In the same way when we baptize them, they are part of the family. You're part of the family. He's welcomed Jesus. And he's been changed by Jesus. And so you get the punchline of the story. This is what it's all about. Jesus says, "For the Son of Man," that's him, "came to seek and save the lost." Jesus has come to seek and save lost people. That is the heart of the Christian faith. That is the heart of what we believe. Jesus has come to seek and save lost people. And this story, of course, isn't written for Zacchaeus. Luke, who wrote it, has written it for us. He wants the whole world to see this, that we might believe in Jesus and be saved from our sins, from our mess, and have eternal life. Jesus has come to seek and save lost people. Like Zacchaeus, like you, whoever you are, like me. And he's still coming today. He comes as you hear that little voice in your conscience convicting you. Something's not quite right in my life. I wonder, have you had that feeling? That feeling, if you're being really honest, you are guilty of turning your back on God. Or he comes as you see him change other people, as you see Jesus change someone's life, like Jackie. Well, it shocks you and it makes you wonder. And he comes by his Spirit as the stories about him, as the Bible is opened up and comes to life. We see what he's really like. He wants to save people like you and me forever. Could it be that today he's saying to you, I must stay at your home. I must come into your heart today. Well, Zacchaeus is the example of how to respond, because he welcomed Jesus and then he let Jesus change him. If Jesus is speaking to us today, I think he's asking, will you welcome me? Will you be changed by me? Maybe like Zacchaeus, you are attracted to Jesus. I mean, let's face it, he is a very appealing person. He's the most humble and kind and truly loving person. But if you're honest, you've kept him at arm's length. Maybe you like coming to church and like thinking about this, but you've kept Jesus at arm's length. I don't know why. Maybe it's because you don't feel worthy. But Zacchaeus is such good news, isn't it? Because someone as bad as him can be saved. And that means all of us can. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you've done. What's in your closet. You can be saved. He came for people like you. Like me. And you don't know my background. But it's not that great. Jesus is not like the people of verse 7. They're muttering and they're grumbling against sinners. No, the church is for people like Zacchaeus, people who aren't religious, like Jackie, like me, like you. In fact, there's a little warning here for church people. Don't be like the grumblers in verse 7. If we claim to follow Jesus, then our hearts should be like his, longing to seek and save the lost. And that is our mission, to seek and save the lost. So will you welcome Jesus? And will you be changed by Jesus? This second question is a bit more scary, because you look at Zacchaeus and maybe you think, I don't see how I could change that much. It's impossible. You know, the things that I know in my life are not great. I don't see how I can turn them around like Zacchaeus did. But just remember the order that things happened. Jesus didn't wait for Zacchaeus to clean up his life. He didn't wait for Zacchaeus to make himself fit to meet the king. No, he came to him when he was lost. He sought him out. And all Zacchaeus did was say, wow, I welcome you. And then, after that, he was changed. Jesus takes us as we are, warts and all. He doesn't demand that we change ourselves first, but after we've welcomed him, well, he does want to change us. And he does ask, will you be changed by me? He wants to make us into people whose hearts are actually like his, not selfish, but truly loving others and truly loving God the Father. Jackie, it's been really exciting seeing you think about Jesus over the last few months and years, indeed, and your children too. Already, he is changing you. And today, you've asked him to keep on doing that for the rest of your life. That is a big ask. And that's what we're praying for. And that's what all of us here need as well. We all need to let Jesus change us so that we're people truly of love, love for God, and love for others more and more and more. That's what he wants to do with this community of people. Jesus has come to seek and save lost people like Zacchaeus, like Jackie, like Sophie, like Leo, like you, like me. Will you welcome him? Will you be changed by him?